ask you again to share with us your will and your way for us. Guide and direct us through Brother Alvin. Speak through him, give him words to speak, and give him the courage. Remind him that it is you that speaks and not him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. The title of the message this morning is The Shepherd Hears Your Heart. The Shepherd Hears Your Heart. And I thought for an introduction this morning, I have with me a book. It wasn't the book I was looking for. I was looking for a book that we happened to use in our home, and I think I had in childhood, but I couldn't find it, and I knew I have it somewhere, so I picked this one. I was wondering if the children would want to come forward and sit up here and look at me so they can look at the pictures. I'm going to put a few pictures on the screen this morning. Just wondered, would you children want to come forward? We're going to sit right here. How's that? There we go. It's good to see us. Do you know what our house? We have some little creatures, and they're called chicks. They're really tiny. We put them in our hand. Last night, I took a little chick. I took it in my hand, and it wasn't drinking. We thought, well, I think there's a problem. The chick, they don't know how to drink, so we dunked their heads in. It reminded me, there's a lot of different ways that we are shepherds. Do you know what a shepherd is? What's a shepherd? What's a shepherd? What were you going to say? Okay, the one said he guards sheep, that's good, and you said takes care of sheep. Shepherds take care of different things. And so in a sense, we're a shepherd of those little chicks we're looking after because we want the best for them. We don't want our dog one night came into the room where the chicks are in a bin and stuck his nose into the bin. And she was about this far away from them, and I'm surprised she didn't eat one. But that's what shepherds do, right? In a way, your school teacher is a shepherd, or your mama and your papa, they're shepherds as well. Are we connected? This big cable, the HDMI, or is it? The big one. Yeah, it's HDMI. The light's red and it's plugged in. That. Do you know who that is? Who is that there? Sleeping. Can't see any other sheep, can we? Who's that fella?
David.
You think that's David? Yeah, that's a good name for him. Might not be David, I don't know for sure. What do you think he's doing? He's carrying a little sheep, isn't he? A little lamb. And I think, what's the thing in his hand?
Staff.
And what does that thing do? It could work like a weapon, yes. Why would you need a weapon? Why would you gonna hit the sheep, is he?
No.
Why do you think he has a staff? Think he's going to hit the sheep with it? Maybe if they're fighting. I don't know. I haven't seen many vicious sheep lately myself. What are you thinking? Okay. So a fox, you're thinking he might, a wolf or a fox, and you're thinking that if they start running away, maybe he can just reach out and catch them. You saw a fox, yeah. Fox and a sheep is something else. I think. So why not just stick the sheep in a pen? And that's it, done. Why not? Okay. Who has sheep? Anybody have a sheep at home? What were you going to ask? Or say? That's right. Sheep are let out so they can eat grass and drink water from streams. Did you know that they still put sheep outside? I have a neighbor who has a lot of sheep outside, and it looks beautiful, these woolly sheep. Sometimes they're not woolly, because what happens to their wool? Because they take it off. Hey, you think that's what this is made of? Maybe, huh? Yeah, but it looks beautiful when the sheep are outside, and the grass is... What color is good grass, do you think? Green grass, you think so? Does the grass... What would you do if your sheep were in a place that was brown grass? You would. You sound like you might want to be a shepherd someday, because it sounds like I think a sheep would want to go where there's green grass to eat. Did you know that sometimes animals, and I don't know if sheep do this, I feel a little insecure because there's a shepherd here today, but sometimes animals, when they get bad bugs, some bad kinds of bugs on their coats, they will actually go into a stream and they'll swim across a stream so that those bugs have to come up and drown, and they help them get rid of their ticks, or I don't know if it can get rid of a tick that way, but the bad things that want to come on them. It also helps get them clean, doesn't it? Shepherds are looking to have what kind of sheep? What kind of sheep would you want to be or have? You'd want to have good, clean sheep, yeah.
Dirty sheep.
You'd want dirty sheep. Why would you want dirty sheep? Pardon me?
So that I can make it tiny.
Oh, so you can, oh, you would be like a veterinarian. You'd take the dirty sheep and you'd clean them up and make them look nice. You'd polish them. What kind of sheep would you want, Jordan? Okay. Is there any other kinds of sheep? Some people here with goats too. How about just having a really skinny... Yes.
I want pink sheep.
You want a pink sheep? I think you could get a pink sheep. You could make a sheep pink real quick. What kind of goats do you have in your barn?
Saanen
goats, okay. And why do you have them in your barn? Okay, so they don't run away. That's a good reason. What do you do with your goats in your barn? You milk them, right? So that's a good goat. That's a good goat to have. Now, let's say the goat had the flu. Think goats get flus, do they? Something? What would you do if your sheep got sick? Oh, you'd take it to the vet. Oh, yeah, right. Why? Why take it to the vet? Why are you worried about it? Because it's sick. So a sick sheep's not a good sheep? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was thinking more that you could put something in water, and if you had to treat your sheep, let's say they had something in there, you'd probably treat them and might discolor their fleece. Anyway, I don't think we're going to get our pictures this morning, but that doesn't matter. So do we all agree that if we're shepherds, let's say we're all shepherds this morning, we want our sheep to be happy? Do you want your sheep to be healthy? Do you want your sheep to eat brown grass? How about thistles? You don't like goats. But why would you want them to eat thistles? They don't care. Okay. I had goats when I was a little boy. And I'll tell you, our goats were fussy eaters. They wanted the best hay. And I don't remember them eating tin cans. Remember the pictures? There's pictures out there. Do they? Well, I don't think my goats did. There was something wrong with my goats, I think. They maybe weren't, what do you call them, sanin? 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 I think we had a white one. So they're white, right? Would you want your goats, your sheep, to eat green grass? Would we? All green grass? How about just a little bit of green grass? Just about this much. Your whole field only had this much. One of the pictures I have this morning is a picture of one side is brown and the other side is green. You'd like it all green. Yeah, the one side looks like it needs rain. But how about if each goat just got one blade of grass? Is that good enough for you? Would that be good enough for your goats? That'd be better than no blade of grass, right? But it wouldn't be enough, right? That'd be like you having one cornflake, just one little cornflake. That wouldn't do you today, would it? You wouldn't get far sledding, would you? But we're happy. We want our sheep to look happy and healthy. We want them to have good feed. We want them to... What about water? How about just dirty water? Maybe a little bit of oil in it from the shop. Anybody have a shop at your house? Your farm? Your place? And then would it be okay if they had a little bit of oil to drink? No. We want them to have... What kind of water do you want yours to have? Clean water, right? Pure, clean water. So the shepherd, I can picture the shepherd. And the story I was going to read to you, which isn't in this book, was a picture of a man looking out over a ridge. And his name was Abraham, and he was a shepherd. And he had a whole lot of sheep. And he looked down over a plain that was beautifully green. It was lush. It was going to be wonderful for his sheep. And him and someone else that was working with them, they had so many sheep, they had to separate their sheep. But this shepherd, he trusted God. And he said, God, I don't have to take the best land. He took his sheep to another place, and he was a good shepherd. His name was Abraham. This story is called The Lost Sheep. I'm going to read you this story. When Jesus was a boy, he often watched the shepherds on the hillsides caring for the sheep and lambs. Many years later, he told a story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. 100 sheep. This kind man was kept very busy looking after his large flock. During the day, he led them to the places where they could find fresh grass to eat and water to drink. The sheep wandered about, but the shepherd watched. When they strayed too far, he would go after them and bring them back. At night, he brought them together in one place, and there he would light a fire to scare off. There he has a fire. See the fire? There's a shepherd sleeping around the fires to scare off the bad animals we talked about, the wolf and maybe the fox. Anything that would harm the sheep. Later, he would lie down and wrap in his shepherd's cloak and sleep until the morning. One evening, he collected his sheep. Before the sun went down, and began to count them as he always did. 1, 2, 3. The good shepherd found that he had only 99 sheep. Is that enough sheep for you? 99 good enough? If you had 100 sheep, is 99 good enough? Would you be content? You would be content? Okay. Let's see what this shepherd said, huh? And he was sad when he found that one sheep was missing. He shut the gate of the field carefully and went off to search, although by this time it was beginning to be dark. Do you know what happens when it's dark at our house? sometimes I go back to the shop. It's a couple hundred feet from the house, and I hear something howling out in the back in the bush, and we have coyotes, and I don't like how they sound. They sound eerie. I wouldn't want to meet them in the dark. They scare me. So it was getting dark. It was a scary time of night. Pardon?
And then you should have a hunter at your place.
A hunter? Yeah, I do have hunters sometimes, but they're usually not with me when I'm, and they don't want me walking around when they're hunting because I scare the animals. Yeah. They're scary, and they can eat rabbits. That's okay, right? But they could eat your sheep, too. The shepherd went up and down the hillsides, listening and calling to the poor, silly sheep who had roamed away from the safe place. Thorns scratched his face and hands, and his sandals were cut by rough stones, but still he went on. Then, when he was very tired, the shepherd heard the bleating of the lost sheep, and soon the search was over. He forgot his long walk, and picking up the sheep, he laid it on his shoulders and took it back. He was very happy that he had found the missing one and rejoiced to take it safely home. So that shepherd was happy to have, he wanted every single sheep. One sheep missing was too many sheep missing for the shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. He comes looking for us too. He knows all about us. You are welcome to go back to your mamas and daddies. Thank you for your good attention. Maybe for a little exercise, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 12, 22 through 37, and I invite you to stand with me. Let's practice something that Brother Paul talked about in Sunday school. He talked about in the old congregation, they stood with respect for the Word of God, and sometimes it's just okay to do these things. I know that in our hearts, that's where it all starts, right? The issues of life come out of our hearts. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed. Imagine this. Here is Jesus. Here is this man coming toward him, demon-possessed. Blind and mute. Means he couldn't see and he couldn't talk. This man was in a bad way. And he healed them so that the blind man and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" Imagine for the man, for the people who then could see and then could walk, then could talk. Imagine those. We know the burden, what the burden of sin looks like and feels. Imagine having been released from the possession of the spirit possession in your own life. Dark, dirty, vile spirits. He healed them from them. Could this be the Son of David? Could it? Could this be the Messiah who said he would come? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore, I say to you, Every sin, notice that, every sin, he didn't say most sins, he said every sin and blasphemy, every sin and blasphemy against will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You may be seated. So the response by the crowd, I would have to say, was good. They had a promise. They had before them, they saw exactly what was happening before them in this scripture. We could say, was it okay? Yeah, no, it was good. Was it good? Was it bad? Or was it extremely good? These people noticed that something was extremely good. And I see a few things here in this passage, and I'm not trying to exegete the passage, or I'm not trying to find the main truth or all the truth. I'm simply looking at a time when Jesus was walking upon the earth, and he was among people who had needs, and he did something about their needs. So maybe one point we could see here, if you're looking for some points, would be the reality of men, the reality of mankind. He saw the demon-possessed. That is a real thing in our generation, in our culture, in our day. He saw the deaf. He saw the blind. He saw all the physical needs. It says that Jesus saw these things and he went about doing good. We also see the response of all the people who were being affected by how Jesus was living his life and meeting and ministering to people. And then there's some teaching. Point three, teaching. He was teaching, Jesus, I think, was teaching us to think a few interesting thoughts. Good trees, if good fruit, and bad tree, if bad fruit. See, what had happened here, they blamed Jesus. They said, that can't be the finger of God. Or maybe in another way, I don't know for sure, but I wonder if Jesus was actually stopping the Pharisees from blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Were they about to say, I don't know if they did, or if they're about to say, I'm not sure, I don't think so, but they were about to say, the Spirit of God is not upon you, and they were about to curse him for what they saw happening. For they said, the Pharisees said, he's only casting out the demons by the power of Satan, by Beelzebub himself. And Jesus rightly said, so how do your people cast out demons? He said, in effect, Jesus said, you have one choice. You don't have the choice. You can't pick and choose what you think is a good tree or a bad. He said, that is already decided by the fruit that hang on that tree. So the good treasure is deep. He talked then about how things come out of our hearts. There's a treasure within our heart. There is a storehouse of things that are within ourselves, and we all know ourselves. We know what, in some ways, what's in ourselves. And from that, from what's within us, it spills out of us and through our lips, as we saw in the scripture. And I marveled as I came across this in my own time with the Lord. I marveled how he said all sins and all blasphemy will be forgiven except the one. And I'm not here to talk about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because I want to make a note. We want to make a note, a big note of that. That the people, mankind, who reject the Lord and blaspheme the Spirit and tell him to just curse him and tell him to go away, that's not forgivable. But I think we would have to admit, from out of our lips, every single lip in this place, probably, especially as adults, we know the things that have come out of our heart. We have been in pressure, and we've said words. We've revealed exactly who and we were and what we're about. And the good news is that this morning, that Jesus said, all those things can be forgiven. Every single sin this morning can be forgiven, and so that the treasure that's within our lives can be something that's valuable, that something that's real, like my plum trees. A couple years ago, I had these beautiful plum trees in the backyard, and they gave lots of plums. And next year, they came up, they blossomed, came out, and there were black scabs all over the tree, and that was the end of the tree. We cut the tree down. The question is, how do we, abundance, if I can say it that way, or populate our heart? Verse 34, he said, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, how can we abundance our heart so that the right things come out? I wish I could have my sheep pictures up here, because I had a number of pictures of sheep. I had pictures of good sheep, healthy sheep, beautiful sheep, flocks of sheep. I had pictures of very sick sheep. I had a sheep that was just as skinny as can be. And that sheep, we're talking about ourselves, okay? Just in case you don't get the connection. The Lord Jesus, he knows our hearts. He knows that from his heart to your heart this morning, Jesus wants to come and he wants to forgive you of all your sin and all the blasphemy that has ever come out of that heart. Jesus wants you to be a sheep who's in green pasture. Jesus doesn't want us to live in a place where it's just dry, just shriveled up and dry, and there's just thistles coming out, and the food is dire, and the lice and the parasites abound in every place. The water's even oily and dirty. He doesn't want us to live there. He wants us to have hearts that are filled, and you and I this morning have a heart. And he knows your heart. And he wants to get to your heart. He wants to change our hearts. He wants to fill our hearts. He wants us to be the sheep, the 99. He wants to be the complete 100 sheep. He wants that 100th sheep back within the fold. He wants that sheep to be healthy. He doesn't want skinny cows in his barn. He doesn't want cows that don't milk at all and that just take too much quota because they didn't milk. He doesn't want barns that are empty. He wants lives that are filled and rich. And as we watch our Lord Jesus, in some ways, I marvel at the climate and the place that our Lord walked. He walked in arid places. He walked in among he walked in Israel. He walked in a place where when the blessing of God is upon it, it blooms like a rose. When his blessing is withheld and there is dryness, there is lack, there is need. And Jesus he walked into Israel. He walked among the people. We are people with real needs. I have needs, heart needs myself that he has met. There are times in my life I feel so discouraged and a word fitly spoken has come my way and just lifted me up. Or there have been times when I pulled off the bookshelf. Somebody asked Ravi Zacharias, somebody well-known, well-renowned in the Christian world, and he looks very confident as a Christian. They asked him, how do you go about having your quiet time with God? How do you find yourself fed? How do you find feeding and time of refreshing and a place where your heart is filled with abundance so that you have to give He speaks a lot, and he's the type of speaker you go out of your way. If you get into his event free, you probably take the opportunity. He said he recommends you take a songbook off your shelf. How many times this morning I pulled off a song, I can't even remember what it was, in the Christian hymnal. But I just know as it ministered to my heart. It was like a calmness that came over my spirit. See, Jesus walked among us. He walks among us because he knows us. He knows your anxiety this morning. He knows your need this morning. He knows the pain. He knows the empty hole that is you're trying to fill with sin. He knows who you are completely. He knew what you would experience and what you would live with and what you would grow up to be. He knew how it was going to look. And he wants 100 sheep in the fold. He wants every single soul in the fold. So we can say to ourselves, okay, I want abundance. I want abundance in my heart. Here's what I gather from what Jesus said. You can say, I don't care. You can say, you can hunger and thirst for, or you can hunger and thirst for it. The fact is that something is getting into your soul. Something is going into your storehouse, whether it's a rotten, vile harvest, or whether it's bounteous and beautiful, and at this time of year we see, or I can see in my mind, or go into some of your fruit cellars, and you'll see all kinds of beautiful jars and filled with all colors of canned goods, or the potato bin is full again, right? Beautiful potatoes, or the carrots, and it's arranged neatly. I can just picture it in my mind. My grandparents, our own even. The beauty of gathering in the harvest, the wonderful things that are stored. And so within our own lives, there's a warehouse that is being filled. How, or is it, or isn't it? So, in case I'm not clear, what I'm talking to us this morning about is that I want every single one of us. First of all, I want those who are lost to come to Christ. If you're lost this morning and you know you have never come to Christ, let me say it now. There is a relationship that you can have. And the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I'm talking about how we fill our storehouse so that when the things that can come out of the storehouse are rich and vibrant. The Word of God is powerful this morning, so powerful it can save our souls. It can destroy the sin. His Word can reveal our sin, reveal ourselves, give us understanding so that, like the Scripture says, I had more understanding than all my teachers. The Word that created everything. And then he goes on to say, and the Word was with God. Without him was not anything made that was made. This is the Word that when we spend time, we fill our storehouse. This is the how we do it. We pull the songbook off the shelf maybe, or we pull out the Word. We spend time with the Word, and we spend time with Jesus Christ. We open up his Word, and it can be a dead letter. To those who are lost, it can be a dead letter. To the Pharisees, they walked with him, and he was Beelzebub. He was hated. They wanted to destroy him, and they planned to. They tried to. Here was the Word walking among men who could save their soul, who could forgive their sin, forgive all their blasphemy, forgive everything that had come out of their heart through their mouth. He could forgive them, and this Word was with men. And in him was life, and life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. That's what Jesus, the shepherd, is out to do. He's not just, it's not just a cute little picture where Jesus out getting his sandals ripped off and his clothes torn. He's out there because he's saying, I want you to believe. He was not that light, John was not, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, that the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. This is the ecclesia. That's, you talk about the church. It's called out. It's not the building, as we heard this morning. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Here is the problem. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. And the receiving is simply believing that he died, the Word of God, the Creator God, the Son of God, came from heaven to this earth. He came and he died for you. He died for me. He died because you sinned. He died for your sin to wash you from your sin. He's asking you this morning, do you believe him? Will you receive it? As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. In our story this morning, or in the time where Jesus was walking, there was truth came by, and the fruit of that truth was awesome. As Jesus was walking, healing, touching, delivering people, I see grace filled, the fruit of grace, the fruit of healing, the fruit of joy. And no wonder we talk about rejoicing, joy over and rejoice. Isn't that what rejoicing is? It's joy that comes again and again. The fruit was seeing for some, seeing, spiritually seeing, speaking. Our tongues are loose so we can share what he's been doing, sitting at rest, and sitting with the Master at his feet. That's a picture. But rest is something that most people don't live with, clothed and in the right mind. So again, how do we do this? J.I. Packard, I gleaned a few things from a few other people because I was thinking about sheep. When I think about sheep, what they need, I think they're going to need some good feed. I think they're going to need some good clean air. I thought about looking for a picture in, say, China, or some of these countries, Asian countries, where you just see smog every day, all day. You don't see the sun. It's that bad. Maybe Hong Kong. Is that right? It's so bad. I think we need it. Good, clean, fresh air. These sheep need a pure stream to drink from, right? We drink from the Word. You can listen to messages all day long, but someday, somewhere, somehow, you're going to need to open up the Bible, the Scriptures. In fact, it says to Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And this was talking in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. He was talking about the Scriptures that they had. They opened up the scroll in Ezra. They opened up the scroll, and in it they pulled out the law. That's the Scriptures that Timothy had as well. There were some new things added since Ezra's, a few prophets maybe. I don't know how complete the scrolls were at that day, but that's what they had. We can rightfully go into the Old Testament scriptures and find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. His word is real, it's powerful. But unless we read the old law and we read the old scriptures through the lens of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith, we have an Old Testament. Without the new, we don't have the gospel. The gospel of Christ this morning, again, is that your sins can be forgiven, your blasphemies, every wicked deed that you have done, your sins, he says, all of them can be forgiven. J.I. Packard said, we need, if we're going to get to know God, we need to learn how to reverence God. The fear of the Lord, the scripture says in Proverbs 1, verse 7 and 9, 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Verse 7, it says, is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. If, Peter says, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning, he was going on to a totally different thought, but that's what happens. We need to learn to reverence God. He said, we need to become humble and teachable. And I can think of somebody who humbled his heart greatly. His name was James, the brother of Jesus, his older brother. And the family looked and they were rejecting him. And there came a day they had to humble their hearts. That's a good picture of humility, where we would bow before our older brother who lived in her home for 30 years. Our eyes are opened. We are seeing. We are hearing. We see that this is the Son of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Creator God. They humbled themselves and received him into their heart. Received into the storehouse of their life and added virtue, knowledge, and many, many things. We need to acknowledge, he said, we need to acknowledge his sovereignty. Acknowledge our littleness. Didn't know that was a word, but I guess so. We need to acknowledge how small we really are. And if you're struggling with sin in your life, or as you're a believer, you're a child of God this morning, and something is bothering you, we need to acknowledge our littleness. We have a way to escape these things. Something is bothering you. What do you do if something is bothering you? What do you think the sheep would have done this morning if we have a shepherd who is the Lord Jesus, and there's a thorn, it's in our flesh somewhere. It's in, maybe it's in our face because we've been eating too close to the thistles. What do? We go to the shepherd, do we not? We walk up to the shepherd. That sheep could go up to the shepherd, and he would submit himself to that master, who would then, with some pain, with some tenderness and care, but there would be some pain, remove it so that the pain can be free. You can be free. You can live free. Acknowledge your smallness. Acknowledge your littleness, your inability, his sovereignty, your inability to take care of these things, and humble our hearts before him. Distrust our own thoughts, he said. Have our minds turned upside down. We think, sometimes we think incorrectly, we think it can't be done. We can't get over this thing. And I've been marveling as I'm reading in the Gospels where Jesus was speaking to me over and over, and he says, oh, you of little faith, have faith. Have faith. Will you just believe that the shepherd can do what he says he will do? Can you believe that his heart is that good that he's out to get the 100th sheep? He's out to get you back into the fold. He wants you in the fold. And he's out. He's going to work diligent until he gets you there. One of the things for feeding, I believe, is one of the things, maybe one of the great things that we, the children of God, have this morning is we have the Word of God. As the children of God, we have the Word of God. We need to learn to receive the word, J.I. Packer said. Wisdom is divinely wrought in those and those only who apply themselves to God's revelation. Wisdom is divinely wrought in those and those only who apply themselves to God's revelation. Oh, how I love your law, Psalm 119. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. So why? Why did he say that? He said, because I meditate on your word. Because I meditate on your word. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you. Dwell in you. Abide in you. Abide in me. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Do you see what's going on? Teaching and admonishing one another. He says in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. May I challenge us this morning? I know that our genres around here are, in our culture, are vast and varied. Would that be a good way to check out what we're listening to? Whether it's a message, whether it's a story, whether it's, is this thing actually admonishing us? There are secular things, by the way, that can admonish us. You know that, right? I remember a day sitting in a house or in a cottage, and I pulled a book off the bookshelf, and I felt the Spirit of God saying, you need to read this book. It was a very humanistic type of a book, in a sense. But it taught me one simple principle. And I've told you what that is before, if you know me. And if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. No. My wife says I shouldn't do that, right, Sandra? I shouldn't leave people hanging. It's not important what I learned that day. Maybe it is. I'll tell you what I learned that day. Do you want to know what I learned that day? Or don't you care? Would you rather wait for another time, Kevin? You don't want to wait, eh? But I'll tell you, just since I got your attention, you can find God speaking directly to your need, the need, some needs we don't even know we have, but you can find him speaking directly. The Holy Spirit is able to take his word, and he sharpens it like you'd... You need that thing in a certain hole. He's not hammering square pegs into round holes. He's sharpening his word so it fits so perfectly and beautifully. We need something made at the shop right now, and we can take it to the local person in Elmira who has a lathing machine, and he can lathe that thing down to, I don't know, how 1/10,000th of an inch. That's pretty fine, more than I can see. Really, really fine, but you know it's not enough. But the Holy Spirit is taking what he's taking with his word. As I, my own experience right now, I haven't forgotten, by the way. My own experience right now is that the Father is speaking me to have more faith in him. As I'm reading in my own time, it's like everywhere I look, he's like, you faithless. You're just faithless. We need to have more faith in Jesus. We need to trust the shepherd completely. He knows what he's doing among us, with us, and will be to us. He has ways of making healthy sheep, and if they're not healthy, if we will come to him, if we will receive him, if we will trust him like the demon-possessed man did, or like many times he just cried, Son of David, have mercy on me. If we will search for him with all our heart, that is how it's done. If we search for him with all our heart, Jeremiah 29:13, I think it is. So God is, he knows us. He knows you perfectly. He knows what you've gone through. He knows exactly what you need this morning. He's not mixing up. He's not a pharmaceutical company that mixes up all kinds of things to make all kinds of money to give any kind of result or some high result, some great exalt result in the short term so that they can get you back and get you hooked on their drug. He's not doing that. The Holy Spirit, that's why it's so important that we are listening and receiving and believing and trusting and walking with God so that we do not spurn the Spirit. We do not reject him. and God forbid that we would blaspheme him as he comes into our life and he's touching spots in our life and he says, I want you to touch this. I want you to be holy. I didn't write that, by the way. I want you to be holy in this area. This ought never to be done. Flee fornication, for an example. Or maybe in your life, it's you have an impatient spirit, and the Spirit of God is touching, and he wants. But that's how we get this. How the sheep find health and healing and wellness is reverencing God. We fear before him. If we would fear, I don't know if some of you people, maybe there's something that you're scared people will ever get to know that you do. Maybe you're doing something hidden and secret. And you just, if we would fear God, that when the things we do, we would fear him, that we would never let him down. We'd trust his, we know his sovereignty. We know his greatness, that he is over all and he sees everything all the time and he's everywhere. We ought to, therefore, we ought to fear God. If we will fear him, that's where knowledge begins. That's true gnosis or true knowing. That's true wisdom. That's where wisdom starts. That's how the sheep start getting up off the ground. They're laying flat out. But the moment you receive the truth, you believe him, you start fearing to sin. You'd fear God. Your head gets lifted up. You trust Jesus. He stands you up. He picks you up. He washes you clean. He anoints you with whatever you need to get rid of, whatever parasite is there. We need to learn to receive God's word. God's word to my heart that day, by the way, was that I need to start speaking from the things that are on my own heart. I need not try to do it like every other people are doing. I like I love the children, the little children, the big children, the children. Love the children. They come forward. And if you were nervous this morning, I'm almost always nervous when it comes to doing things like this. And throughout my life, I've rejected and walked away from times like this. But the Holy Spirit has ways of telling us how to do things, right? He has ways to tell. If you speak about, I could get to the thing that's important to you. I could talk to Gary here about if I want to be a dairy farmer and learn how to be a good dairy farmer or to be a husbandman with in the barn, Gary's the place to go. He could talk to you without thinking about it. He wouldn't have to pull out the manuals. He wouldn't have to say, well, what do I do if there's ketosis? No sweat. He'd just tell you right off. If we'll fear God and we'll walk with him, we'll open up his word, we'll learn to receive his word, we'll find that starts happening. The treasure store gets filled. Our life becomes richer. We become healthier. We walk in a healthy way as believers. We walk in a healthy way because you notice the commandment this morning in the Sunday school was they said we haven't been keeping the commandments. What are the commandments? We haven't been in the Word. We haven't been loving the Word. We haven't been walking with Jesus. We haven't been walking with Papa. We haven't been very close to him. We're not really loving him, and from that spreads out our love to each other. We will keep the commandments. We will keep the great commandments. No? Anybody? An amen? We will keep the great commandment to love each other. We will love the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll love the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We will love our God supremely and we'll love each other. We will. In this 21st century, how do we do these things? But by soaking ourselves in the Scriptures. Here's a quote from J.I. Packer. Many today do not attain to wisdom because they do not attend to God's word. Many do not attain to wisdom. Young people, do you know? Young believers this morning, do you know? Young people, you walk in the Word. The wisdom that you are receiving, as you are receiving it, attending to His Word, you don't have to be 50 years old or 70 years old to be wise or have knowledge of God and to walk before God with some young people have more knowledge. He said, I have more knowledge than the ancients. And that's because they're attending to God's Word. Another one, number three. This came from a man named Heitzig. Knowing God, getting to know God. We live in a day where knowledge has been increasing rapidly. And I looked some of these things up. The increase of knowledge since 1900 is this, they say. I don't know if we even know, but this is what we think. Up until the 1900s, knowledge increased knowledge doubled every century up until 1900s. And watch this, 1900s to the end of World War II, which was what, 45? Who knows their history? Am I right? 45 or 40, what? 45, thank you. And at the end of World War II, it's been doubling every 25 years. It went from a century to a quarter of that, or to 25 years. 2013, I found an article. Nanotechnology has been doubling every 2 years, every 24 months. Clinical technology has been doubling every 18 months. The human average is doubling every 12 months. IBM expects that by 2020, it will be doubling every 12 hours. So 1900s, and I remember, I went to the church I met with as a 14, 15, 16-year-old. I remember some old men there and some old women who were born in the 1800s. How cool is that, eh? How old am I, right? Really old. But in the 1800s, I think the 1880s. But until 1900, knowledge was only increasing, doubling every 100 years. And by 2020, they're expecting it'll double every 12 hours. And there's some crazy things on the horizon. Things that probably they will be able to, they'll have gathered so much information about you and me, especially us who have technology, that they will literally be able to shout it from the rooftops. And that's not my thought. Doubling every 12 hours by 2020. What a knowledge tsunami we have. Here's something else that article in IBM said. Although information itself is growing exponentially, the half-life of knowledge or facts is decreasing. Information itself is growing exponentially. The half-life of knowledge or facts is decreasing. What about spiritual knowledge? What about knowing God? Based on the upper room conversation in John 14, here's a few principles, again, another way to say it. I'll go through these quickly. Four ways we can get to know God better. Number one, in John 14, verse 9. Jesus said to them, have I been with you so long? By spending time in his presence. We've gone through that carefully. Number two, verse 10 through 11, John 14. Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Believing in his person, learning to trust him more. Number two. Number three, bending to his word, and I added this one, and example. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Bending to his word. that he's saying things to us. The scriptures say things to us that we ought to bend our hearts to. We may not really like what we see, and I think that's what's happening in our culture. In the last 100 years, our culture has shifted greatly, but if you look carefully at the shift, just check. Check our own hearts. Are we bending ourselves to God's word? Are we bending ourselves to what somebody else is thinking? What are we bending our heart to? We ought to bend ourselves like Jesus did to his Father. Nabil Qureshi said something very interesting about about the Trinity. He believes that we Christians need to understand the Trinity better, and we better be able to share it with Muslims. That is probably one of the most convincing things in a Muslim to come to Christ, is to understand they can't get around the Trinity. But he said, and he used the picture of the Father and the Son, he said, "My Father and I are the same, but my Father is older than I, therefore we are not the same." And that is a bit how he goes on to describe the Trinity. And my point is that Jesus submitted himself to the authority of the Father, and we bend our hearts to his word and to his will, and we reap the benefits, and what comes out of our mouth is joy and peace and rest and understanding and wisdom and the ability to live our lives in this culture, not to go down the road of drift. Hebrews 2 says, be careful that you don't drift. Be careful, because there's going to happen out there. Those people are going to drift back into the law. They're going to go drift back into the Mosaic law. They're going to drift back. They're going to lose their joy that they had, that they trusted in Jesus, and the peace that overwhelms us as we surrender our hearts to Christ and we give him everything and we receive him in every way, in every spot. All our sins are forgiven. Number four, beholding his works, believe in me or believe in me for the sake of the works themselves. Well, here's a quote. One way to get to know God isn't just by getting information, but by seeing transformation. One way to get to know God isn't just by getting information, but by seeing transformation. I pray that your highest priority in life would be, number one, know God above all else. Number two, be conformed into his image. And number three, he would take you to a deeper and more intimate level of knowing him. Our Lord, his desire is that we as sheep, his people, the sheep of his pasture, he says, his pastures are green, his pastures are fair, the water is clear. Will you and I head ourselves there? Will we spend time in his presence? Will we stay in his presence? Will we live in his presence? Will we believe him? Will we trust him? Will we place our faith implicitly, completely in all things in him? Will we bend our hearts to hear his word, number one, but also to live it and to believe it and take his example and walk as he did with his Father and surrender his heart to his Father's authority? And will we then behold? Can you imagine that he picks up the sheep, brings them back to the fold, and the joy and the rejoicing that there is there? I thought of doing this, but I refrained. And I have a slide now. I'll just read to you this in closing. The last slide, a spiritual health checkup. Maybe we could just check ourselves. And I'd be interested in knowing if we're honest. But I don't need to, because you already know. You already know the answer, and so does Jesus. How much approximate time do we spend daily in God's word and in prayer, or fellowship with the Father and the Son? Is it 5 minutes? Is it less than 5 minutes? Is it 15 minutes? Is it 30 minutes? Is it an hour or more? How much time do we spend in his presence? I think you might find a direct relationship to the abundance that is in the storehouse of your heart, and that can come out. God bless you. Walk with him. Trust him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, it was to them. It was to them, to us. The ability's here. To them, they could become the children of God.